This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Scott Studwell, man, the middle linebacker position for the Minnesota Vikings for oh so many years. Oh, he can play. And he worked for the Vikings for oh so many years. He can break down football. We were talking about it this morning, I mentioned at the health club, and it's always fun to visit with him because he sees a different game than I do. And it's a little bit more intricate than what I see from afar. Scott, thanks for joining us tonight.
Well, my pleasure. How you doing there, Maxie?
Good, good. What, you know, you watched yesterday. What do you like when you're watching a game like that? You know, the fans cheer. The fans. What do you watch? Are you watching for how Eric Kendricks plays because he plays your position? What, how do you watch a game?
You know, I probably like a lot of other people. I have a tendency to follow the ball.
Yep.
You know, to be honest with you, but. You know, it's just the ebbs and flows of these games that, you know, that the plays, the big plays that teams make and the big plays that teams don't make are typically the ones that decide the outcome of these games. You know, these rosters are all so close, and everybody's got similar talents. Obviously, every team has better players at different positions. But, you know, I just kind of watch the tempo of the game and the flow of the game and just see how the teams respond to when there's when they have some bad moments and, you know, yesterday was kind of similar. It was, you know, I thought they played well enough to win and they tried to give it away and it was an ugly win, but that's certainly better than a pretty loss. So
that's a good way of putting it.
You know, I mean, that's the way these games are going to go every week, you know, especially with a team with a lot of turnover on their roster the last couple of years and trying to get to know each other as when they're playing next to each other. And you know, but I'm proud of what Kirk's been doing. And you know, there's a lot of good young talent on this football team. And it's, you know, this. Let's just hope that they can continue to improve and you know, iron out some of the mistakes and some of the flaws and get back in the race.
Now, I know, you know, you didn't coach. You worked in the pro personnel department. But, like, after a game like that, what do coaches do? Are they breaking down every play? Are they going, why didn't this work? What's it like for those first couple of days when you come back from a game like that? What do coaches do so that they don't repeat mistakes and yet they don't get too caught up in what they didn't do well and then that just becomes a ghost that haunts them? How do you get past and move on to the next game quickly?
Well, you know, you have to watch the games. I mean, they watch them by position. You know, each position coach will evaluate his players. Obviously, the coordinators will evaluate both sides of the ball. And Zim's going to evaluate the whole team, you know, so, and it's, you know, it's Mondays are, are long days. You know, not only are they, you know, they have to correct the mistakes. They have to figure out why they happened and you know, make sure that they've got the best 11 on the field at you know, on each switch of the ball, and you know, they just have to make sure that you know, they get these mistakes corrected. I think there's a lot of self-evaluation probably as well.
You mean coaches that are saying, did I teach this right or did I call the right play, that kind of thing?
Well, I think, you know, just, you know, they want to make sure that they're putting their players in the best position to make plays. And, you know, and if that's not happening, then they have to evaluate what they're doing and what they're teaching and you know, maybe make some changes, either in personnel or scheme. But, you know, and they're honest about it and they're open about it. And, you know, everybody's got to be on the same page or it's not going to work. And, you know, but then they got to get it behind them. You know, they're already working on Carolina tonight. I know. And I know they probably were working on Carolina late last week. You know, so, you know, every week you have about maybe 8 hours to celebrate a win and the same amount of time to, you know, to digest a loss, and they got to get back to work to the next team up.
Making of an NFL player, you became a Minnesota Viking the hard way. A lot of guys do. It's always interesting, but I've talked to you, of course, on a personal level a lot more than I talked to a lot of other guys. And one of the things that struck me in the book, but beyond, is when you were a freshman in high school, I want to make sure I get this right, 5'2", 110 pounds?
Yeah.
How does one even aspire to be a professional football player at that point?
Well, I didn't, to be honest.
Yeah, that's part of it, huh?
You know, I mean, as a 13 or 14-year-old, I you know, and it, pro football wasn't as big a game back then, you know, than it is now, obviously. And, you know, so, but it just, you know, I was fortunate enough to get interested in the weight room. And I had a big growth spurt, you know, over the 2 or 3 years in high school, and ended up, you know, I was 6'2", about 220 pounds when I finished playing in high school. And so, you know, it was, I was fortunate enough to pick a sport that I really enjoyed. I think that I had good enough instincts for, and, you know, it's always been a labor of love for me, and you know, I was just very fortunate.
So you get to Illinois, though, and you told me at one point, I mean, you're a defensive lineman, and they decided to move you to middle linebacker. We hear this stuff all the time. Had they not moved you to middle linebacker, would you have had the career that you had?
I don't think so. No, I was, you know, I came to Illinois as a linebacker, and they tried to work me as a tight end just to see, you know, where the if I had a skill set for tight end. And you know, I played as a freshman, which was the first year that freshmen were eligible. It was primarily on special teams.
Yep.
And then they, you know, I think they saw some promise, and then they moved me to defensive end to try and get me on the field, because we had some veteran linebackers on the team at the time. And then I just continued to get a little bit bigger, and they moved me to defensive tackle as my sophomore season. And I was not a very good defensive tackle, I will tell you that. And so I ended up tearing my knee up in the spring game my sophomore year, and heading into my junior year, sat out a year. And they moved me back to linebacker, so I dropped all the weight, and basically the rest was history.
Did that feel real natural as soon as you went there again?
Yeah, it really did. Obviously, I think it saved my career as a player at Illinois, and it gave me an opportunity to showcase my abilities and my instincts and some playmaking ability and potential there. So, it's as hard as it was to sit a year and being potential there. So, it's as hard as it was to sit a year and come back from that knee. It was the best thing that ever happened to me. Somebody's been taking care of me and somebody's been watching over me for the last 50 years or so. It just worked out.
Scott Studwell is our guest. He just penned a book. I told him earlier, I hadn't seen him for a long time at the club, and you see, he spent the last 3 months working on a book. I said, you've been writing one or you've been reading one? And I like that one too. You played for the Vikings at a time when you didn't quite get to the Super Bowl. You played on some really good teams. You played on some teams that were terrible. The Les Stuckel era, short-lived as it was. What was the most fun you ever had playing football?
It was all fun. It was regardless of the record and regardless of the outcome of a particular game and regardless of, to play a game that you love, and to get paid for playing, playing at the professional level and playing against some of the best players in the history of the game. It's got to be, my professional career, it was all in high school, you played for fun, and in college you played for an education, and at this level you played for compensation, but you also played because you were one of the best, and you got a chance to play with the best and against the best, and it doesn't get any better than that.
We talk about there have been some watershed moments in Vikings history, certainly when Brett Favre came here, and the helicopter followed him around and everything else, and we've seen some big moments for sure in Vikings history. But you were there when Herschel Walker, when the trade was made, and I would take a wager on that being out there that day, that was as big and as much media attention as Brett Favre or anything else that we saw. What do you remember about him coming here? And did the team feel like, because at the time the whole point was he's the missing ingredient, and once the Vikings get him, they're unstoppable. Did you feel that way, or what happened once he got here?
Well, we were in a team meeting at the time, to be honest with you, and they came in and pulled a handful of players out of our defensive meeting room, and they did the same thing on the other side of the ball. I think this was a trade that was made by one individual without the consent of a lot of the personnel people. It was a shock, to be honest with you. It's something that I don't know if it didn't tear us apart, but it took some time to get acclimated to the new guy, and it wasn't Herschel's fault. He was a football player, and he got traded to Minnesota, so he was going to come play here. And it took some good players off our roster, and unfortunately, it gave away the future, which the Cowboys used to the best of their abilities and build a world championship team. So, obviously there was a winner in that trade and there was a loser. But
that was pretty defined, wasn't it?
But, like I said before, Herschel's a great guy, and he was you know, he came in and fit in and did the best he could. And you know, he just, he wasn't the missing link. You know, he wasn't the guy that was going to take us to the promised land. You know, so it set the franchise back for quite a few years.
You know, we talk about pro personnel, and one of the guys you played with was Chris Dolman. He was a linebacker at one time, and just like you, I mean, had they not made him a defensive end, he may have never entered Canton, Ohio, but we lost him in the last year and a half. What was he like to play with?
You know, just a phenomenal, phenomenal athlete. You know, a guy with unbelievable physical skills. You know, here's a guy that was 6'4", 6'5", and weighed probably 270 to 275 pounds and was just chiseled, and it was just natural, you know. And Chris was, he was all business, you know. He wanted to be a linebacker. He fancied himself as a linebacker. I was happier than hell when they took him out of the linebacker drills and put him down the defensive lineman so I didn't have to get run over by him all day long. But, you know, he was, you know, and he was kind of, he fought it a little bit, you know, and he, you know, he fancied himself as a linebacker and probably in today's game, he may have been able to play that position. Certainly a 34 linebacker as a rush player. But you know, it took Chris a while to get acclimated to putting his hand in the dirt and playing down. But you know, here's a guy that ran 4.4 and you know, just had all the twitch in the world and a very explosive player and very explosive athlete. And you know, he obviously finally bought into it and had a phenomenal career, you know, and obviously got in the Hall of Fame, and which was certainly earned and deserved. And he left us way too early. That's for sure.
Many have lately. Mick Tinglehoff, who you played with in Newell, Jerry Burns, Steve Riley. The list is fairly extensive over the last couple of years. How does that strike you as a former player when you see guys, maybe the era before you, but certainly some contemporaries that go?
You know, it's sad. I mean, it's like losing a brother. You know, I mean, it's, these guys are, there's a special bond that players have, when they play together, and they, you know, they suffer and they have the exhilaration of success, together. And, you know, I mean, some of these, you know, like Mick and Burnsy and some of these guys are, you know, they're getting up there in age, and it's one of those things that, unfortunately, it's going to happen to all of us at some point in time. But you know, you just, you know, when guys like Chris and Steve and you know, Matt and, you know, Fred McNeil and guys that you were contemporaries and you played with and you, you know, you shared a lot of great moments with and shared a lot of tears with.
Yep.
And it's hard to see them. It's hard to say goodbye, number one, and it's hard to see them gone. And you know, you feel so bad for their families. And but, you know, on the flip side, it was, you know, it was such a great honor to play with them.
Yep.
And to know them as friends and to follow their, obviously their careers, but their lives after football. And it's, you know, it's one of those things that it keeps your thoughts in the proper perspective, and you know, you just try and live every day like it's going to be your last.
Absolutely. And, you know, you got a good co-author of this book. Where can we find it?
Well, I think it's in some Barnes & Nobles and Triumph Books. I know you can buy it online, and I'll probably give you a copy if you
Will you float me one, man?
Well, it depends. I'll get you a discount for sure.
That's better than I've gotten from you before. Scott, thank you so much. Appreciate it very much.
My pleasure, Maxie. I'll see you at the gym.
You got it. Scott Studwell, the one and only. What I didn't ask about, you know, when he was here back in the well, he's been here forever, but when he was a young Minnesota Viking, he wouldn't admit this, but, I mean, he was every girl's dream. If you know, like when I grew up, we had posters of Farrah Fawcett on the lawn, people like that. If they would have had it in Minnesota, they would have had posters of Scott Studwell up in their room. And you might remember this era. Maybe some of you do. And he was that big, strong, you know, perfect hair, blue eyes, all those things. And he was something. I tease him about it every day. Plenty more to come, including what's going on West 7th Street from a business owner down there. Sports to the Max and WCCO.
What up, y'all? It's your boy, Danny Green, three-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host, Harrison Sanford, on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.